Service Committee for October 12, 2023. To order, committee members, we have myself, Legislators Gavaris, Levine, Romp, and Chair Bartels. So the way I foresee this is that we have the report, the redlined version of the charter that they sent us as their report, with a brief introduction explaining their methodology, how the recommendations break out, some suggestions, immediate suggestions, details about the red line, and criteria that resulted in them rejecting. We don't have a list of the things they rejected, do we?
I have my notes from the things that I put in on behalf, some of them on behalf of you and me and Ken,
yeah,
which is the majority of this committee.
Yeah.
Most of them on behalf of you, me, and Ken. And so as we go through, I'll be able to raise what they did not accept of ours.
Okay.
So that we can consider putting it in.
So the way I see that would be first to take up the two, those two small things they recommended, which I agree with, I don't think would be an issue, and then take up the two time-sensitive recommendations.
What are the time-sensitive
changes for filling a vacancy.
But that's not, why is that time-sensitive? Because we missed the time to get it on the
yeah,
ballot. So I think we should just go through in order.
Yeah.
It's
and then another
to
one
go
was
through.
Proposed taking up by the proposed local law 8 to improve transparency. So, yeah, we're not beholden to that deadline anymore.
Yeah, why don't we just go through like we did with rules? Let's go from the beginning. And
the only two things with that, just for ease, is just that they have it here to accept all gender pronoun changes, which they have redlined, so they don't have to stop at those.
Yeah, definitely.
They also removed any departments and facilities that no longer exist from the charter. So I don't think we need to pump the brakes for that. So with that, we can go to the first changes, which is on page, even though they're not numbered, page 2 of the charter, C5. Part B, an amendment or a revision by the commission. This is regarding the convening of the commission, where they strike within 5 years, the beginning of every year in 2030, every subsequent year, therefore ending in zero.
Yeah, they went back and forth on this, if I recall. They wanted to do it every 5 years, and I think they ended on leaving it.
It looks like
right?
A
so yes, we agree with this.
So I figure with each one, we'll decide as a group what action to take to accept, reject, table for further discussion and or questions. So are folks good with accepting that?
Yes. Let me just make sure we also have C5B, amendment or revision by commission. Let me just...
That's what we just talked about.
Yeah, I know. I'm just making sure.
Why was it changed from... Why did they strike out... every 10 years, why was that changed from... I see here it's struck from 10 and 5 years thereafter.
No, it's every subsequent year.
They wanted to do it. I can answer.
Yeah, please.
They wanted to make it every 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Amongst themselves, they said, "Let's do this charter revision commission every 5 years." Which I went on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, the three of us saying, I believe that it should stay every 10 years,
mm-hmm.
pointing out that it's a year long and that it's a lot of time and a lot of energy, and doing it every 5 years seemed out of whack. One thing they did not accept that we put in, which I think is kind of, it's technical, but So if you were to read in B, it says amendment or revision by commission, beginning in the year 2030. We wrote no later than April 15th, 2030.
They have it down in subsection 1.
Oh, they moved it down to here. Or
yeah,
before.
Which I believe we can.
Well, we put 2032 for some reason. I don't know why. But that doesn't matter. I'm not going to.
But they did one before April 15th.
Right. But I'm just saying we did 2032. I think it's because we were doing 10 years from now.
Yeah.
Versus it being like 8 years, which we might want to think about, because this puts us at less than 10 years, but we could live with it. But one thing that we put in that they did not, that I can see, is a charter revision commission shall be appointed. That's original language. We added and convened because we had this issue with them not convening a charter.
Where's this?
It's not in there because they didn't do it.
They didn't do it.
So I think we should do
that.
It's technical, it's small, but we've seen that it's important.
It's been abused.
To not convene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So can we make that addition?
In B.
In B.
Shall be appointed and convened to review and make records.
Mm-hmm. And then we also added language that they did not put in that I can see. Let's see.
So you're making the amendment in subsection B. Section B, subsection 1. To read the first meeting of the commission members shall be, or are you adding a new section?
We're just saying it's a charter revision commission shall be appointed and convened.
But it says here that they have to convene. Why would you need to
do
that? I don't know.
It shall be convened by the county executive.
April 15th. By April 15th in subsection 1.
So this requires
them
to do it.
Say appointed.
I don't know. Why did we do that, Chris? Do you remember?
I think this is fine.
Okay. I'm okay. I mean, nothing. And then there's something else we put in here, too. Let me just, while we're thinking about that, we had suggested this language that says, which I don't know if I see it here, but said, nothing shall preclude the convening of a charter revision commission at any time should the county executive and county legislature agree on the need to convene the commission. And I don't think that's...
You can add that at the end of subsection 1, part B, subsection 1.
What would that mechanism be? That would have to be a vote of the legislature?
Probably, yeah.
And agreed by the executive?
I guess. I mean, again, I don't feel as strongly about this one right now, but do we want to just sort of put a pin in these? And
I think we should accept these two.
Those two that I just said?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, adding the first and convened, I don't think hurts.
So, just to answer your first question, what they did do was they included a hard date, which I think helps, which I think was their solution under one. April 15th.
Yes.
So I think that was their solution to what our concern was, because without that, that left a gateway potentially.
You're right, because they could say, prior it said it shall be convened, but it didn't say when, so
right.
It could be convened at any point.
Correct.
Okay, so I'm okay with not adding in convened if we don't want to do that. But then the question is, do we want to add that nothing shall preclude the convening of a charter revision commission at any time should the county executive and county legislature agree on the need to convene the commission? Or do we want to just leave it?
I don't know if it's necessary.
All right. Well, then we can... Let's leave it. I'll make a note that it's not in there.
Yeah, we'll make it.
And then I had also... They accepted our change on the next page.
Yeah.
That's our change. The C4 is our change. The two, at least two public hearings.
Yep.
But we had to say at least two duly noticed public hearings.
We can add duly noticed.
Where are you? Oh, there. I got it.
Yeah,
just that two.
You want duly noticed?
I don't think it hurts. What do you think, Chris?
It doesn't hurt. I mean, obviously public hearings would be noticed under various rules.
Ouch.
You okay?
I'm never okay, but...
We took this.
Okay.
We made the county a democratic dictatorship while you were
gone. Happened long before I left earlier.
Do you want to show Jay where we are? We just accepted some technical
stuff. I'm fine with it, whatever you want.
Convene. You're on C5.
In the red line, not red line version.
There you go.
Sure.
And then duly noted. Public hearing.
Sure.
Two was one of our recommendations. So we'll accept that. Cool. Okay. Anything else on that page? Cross definitions. I know they have one or two changes to definitions on the next page.
Oh, and accepting all gender-neutral
changes. They dropped the definition of clerk.
We asked for that.
Yeah, which makes sense because it wasn't even...
It was confusing.
And then does the read definition of department?
That wasn't us, but that's
each
fine.
Each of those administrative units of the executive branch set forth in Article 5 to Article whatever here. Are folks good with that?
Mm-hmm. So we don't see a need to define the clerk of the legislature?
No.
No, the problem was there's a clerk of the county, too.
Right.
And
county clerk.
Yeah, but we only had one definition for both. It was clerk was the clerk of the legislature,
understand.
So we just said get rid of it, and it'll make sense.
Yep, understand.
So next is the addition of the definition of departmental estimates.
Mm-hmm.
Your folks are second to read over that one.
I'm going to be entertained to find out how the next county executive weasels their way out of that one. But I'm sure that there's unexplored potential.
Yeah, our language that we put in was slightly different. We also added departmental estimates include estimates of expenses and revenues, but are not required to include both. But I feel like it's okay. You good?
Yeah. Okay.
We'll accept that one.
Okay.
Moving on to read-only access.
That wasn't us, but...
No, because they make a recommendation for the Maloney proposal about us having financial record system access.
The only problem with this is that there's no such thing in the system as read-only access.
Exactly.
Who recommended this? Does anyone know?
No.
March, do you know?
That sounds like Legislator Maloney.
No, it was their solution to places where we were asking for the ability to see accounts that the county may set up in investment portfolio cooperative funds, and they were concerned with saying that we had access to those systems, that that should be read-only access. So I think it comes from that.
Does the executive's office have a position on this?
We have to see how it's reflected throughout the document. What's the impact of the language?
I don't think it's in the rest of the document, probably.
So then it doesn't make sense to even be in the definition.
So why don't we have Jay flag this for us?
Yeah.
And we can come back to it.
Yeah.
It actually is. I'm sorry to
Okay.
It does come out in powers and duties of the legislature later on. So
the word read-only
says
comes
yeah.
out? Yeah. What does it say?
It says... subpoena witnesses and documents, including digital records and read-only access to software licensed or owned by the county or its component unit.
That's new. That's them putting that in. That's
correct.
It didn't used to say
no.
that.
No, that's new language.
Through right. subpoena.
That's crazy. That I'm going to have a problem with when we get there.
We'll get there.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely flag this.
And it's also in the controllers section where it says the controller shall have read-only access to all software systems of the county except where precluded by law.
And what about in your subpoena power?
It's not connected to my subpoena power. I mean, it's in the same overall section, but it's not specific to subpoena power.
Wow. Okay. That happened. What section is that in the ledge? Do you know?
Why don't we wait until we get
okay,
there?
Yeah, let's wait until we get there. Okay, go ahead.
That's what I was like, let's
go.
Do
keep
straight
going.
Through.
Anything else in
stuff?
Definitions?
No.
No.
So now we're in Article 2. C8. Part C. Those are just gender pronouns.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Same with C9.
Okay, C9, we made a recommendation under B. We recommended that that membership on a school board be exempt from the prohibition, and they said no.
I'll support the change only if we actually call it the Reverend Julius Collins change.
Finally.
What do you mean,
in the definition.
I mean, we also talked about, conversation, they started saying, well, what about fire boards, and what about...
I thought it was unpaid elected positions, like fire commissioner, library trustee,
We went with school board, because it was what was on our brain, but they brought up fire and all that.
One of the problems with unpaid is that some of these boards have stipends or per meeting, like in Shangham, they stipend planning and zoning boards for like $100 a meeting. So then
we are on Article 2, C9. Yep, we're right down here. I don't know. I mean, I do remember thinking it's crazy that you can't be on a
library.
Yeah,
I think it's hard
to say
we cherry pick one entity and not the other, so I think we either keep it as is.
Well, due respect, y'all didn't care the last time somebody was violating it.
No, I called Reverend Collins and he said he was letting God handle it, okay?
Yes. Are you raising
your hand? Yes.
So I actually think we should keep this, and my reason is because these are taxing authorities. These have their district.
Yeah.
They affect people's tax bills. I think to have that much influence at multiple levels, I just don't think it's a good idea. I think having separate people in those positions makes more sense because you have an impact on people's pockets.
I'm good with it.
Yeah.
Can I leave it?
I'm fine with leaving it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm all right. I don't feel
so. Yeah, so just a question in regards to Section C8, Subsection C, in regards to if there's going to have to be some type of technical change on this if the governor signs that legislation to move local elected offices to even numbered years, it would then become a 1-year term elected in 2025, how that affect this 6 full terms stipulation.
I think it would be fine. I mean, can I answer, John?
Yeah,
I mean, I think if you had a partial, the partial terms wouldn't count toward it. So it
was
just 6 full terms. It's just like the president. You know what I mean? Like if you can have...
It'd be a full term according to the law. One year would be a full term.
If it's a full term according to the law, then
when the term limit legislation was passed, was it not... Was the language not specific to 12 years for executive and 12 years for legislators? Or what did it refer to terms?
I believe we did 6 terms.
I think it's just what this says, 6 full terms. But we say that the term of office is 2 years. So there would be an argument. I mean, in here it says, in the charter it says the term of office is 2 years.
I think we talked about doing
6 full terms. But it also says the term of office is 2 years. So,
but I think we talked about saying 2-year terms in the law. And I think we decided not to because we have to overhaul it if we ever extended the term of a legislator. Then we have to,
C8B says 2-year terms. A term is 2 years. It defines a term as 2 years, and then it says 6 full terms.
You asked what the law says.
So, I don't know. But
I'm fine with leaving it alone.
And like,
we come to it.
I'm actually
there's
okay
there's nobody
with it.
That's abutting the term limit at this point, so it's not an emergency.
No, we're good.
Anything else on that page? C10 Part B, the county position of the county executive shall ensure candidates meet the qualifications listed in C10A and have an opportunity to provide demographic information, a report of the process, and a list containing the names and contact information. This is related to the Charter Revision Commission. I like those.
The contact information, do we want to make that, do we want to turn that into a public document? I don't know. Just a thought.
Yeah. I think a lot of you remember from the Ryan documents, those handfuls would be, you couldn't even contact the people.
I'm fine with this. This was nice, but...
All right. I mean, if everyone else is fine, I'm fine.
Check. Anything else on that page?
Just a quick question of clarification, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
In regards to contact information, are we insinuating that at the bare minimum that would just be something like an email address?
Yeah.
Okay. As opposed to having to list somebody's home address or information like that.
I mean, that stuff's all foilable mm-hmm. Board of Elections anyway.
Yeah. I mean,
if you really want to find out, you're going to find out.
We need their employment as well.
You can just Google for the most part.
Most of the time.
You can find
but also, we get there.
We're all very Googleable, but not everybody.
Surprise.
We get their employment information because that's part of the criteria.
Yep.
Anything else on that page? Now we're in C10 Part E with the addition, the decision will continue for the duration of the commission unless and until changed by a majority vote.
I mean, it seems superfluous, but whatever.
Yeah, that
was
an
argument.
The small change was us, was a technical typo, pointing out a typo.
Got it.
I think that, you know, I think it's silly, but whatever. I don't want to get in.
Then over in Part F, they add at the end of subsection 1 and state law, those changes. We'll just do all of F.
That's fair. That I think attempts to fix the fact last time that nobody in the county attorney's office advised them to the change in state law.
And we're the ones who suggested it.
And you folks are good with subsection 3? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, but it seems nebulous and difficult to define as geographically diverse.
I think we should add a definition of geographically diverse if we're going to put that in there.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that you could say Woodstock, Socrates, and Hurley are geographically diverse. Maybe. I mean, I'll work on a definition. How about that?
So put a pen in that.
I mean, does anybody else share my feeling on that in terms of it's just kind of
I think we should just say the legislature's always pretty good at. But this isn't the legislature. This is the commission.
I think it's fine. We'll put a pin in it, and we'll see how great Ken's definition is. I think that'll be a great final act of you to enshrine the definition of geographic.
No act is ever going to outdo Kevin Roberts and I saving condiment packets.
Yeah, so
I think about every time I get a packet of ketchup at a store.
Legislator Erner.
Thanks. I believe that the Human Rights Commission mentions geographic diversity, and I don't remember whether that's defined there at all, but we might check if that's mentioned anywhere else already in the county's laws.
Mm-hmm. I would really appreciate if you had latitude and longitude in it. All right, so we'll put a pin in subsection 3, except subsection 1 of part F. Now, part H. The Reapportionment Commission shall reconvene prior to its dissolution and make changes required by law or court. The commission shall be dissolved on the day following the general election in which the adapted plan is first used. I like it.
Yeah, we had suggested different language, but I had requested that the county attorney look at it. I think we said may, you know, we were addressing whether or not they reconvene after the date on which the plan is submitted to correct error or omissions or to take action required by law. I think this is just another way of saying that. Seems fine.
I don't support it, but whatever.
Okay. Except.
Can I just start? We do have a pin in geographically diverse. Are you coming up with a?
I am.
Yeah.
The wheels are spinning.
next we have.
Can I just also just on that while your wheels are spinning? Yes. I do want to just point out that they added that one of the three will be in the county seat, which is fine, but not necessarily necessary. You know, so whatever. But we don't have to go crazy about it. If you have a good definition.
One north of New Paltz and one south of New Paltz.
I was actually thinking one north of 299, one south of 299, and one on the east side of the mountain range.
But then we have to have
one on the 209 corridor. I mean, something like that.
So then we would make it four public hearings.
But remember, you could then put one at the New Paltz Village Hall, and one at
the
New Paltz Town Hall,
county seat.
And one. You know what I'm saying? Like you could.
This is going to happen once every 10 years. Define the actual location. Why leave it up to them to figure it out?
Well, it's nice for them to be able to rotate it and have it not in the same place.
Every 10 years?
Yeah.
In 70, in 100 years, you could make every 10.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So... part H is fix the compensation of all officers and employees paid from the county funds or for employees not covered by a collective bargaining agreement to establish salary ranges within the appointing authority shall have discretion to set the actual salary within range. And in the addition, position title or titles for all budgeted county employment positions in Ulster County shall be not changed or otherwise modified the position title set forth in the adopted county budget unless such changes or modifications are required pursuant to state law or resolution adopted by the legislature.
My question is, part of a normal process these days on the civil service side is reclassification with no changes. Sometimes it's actually less compensation based on department need. Does this envision constraining that?
No, that would be pursuant to civil service law.
Civil service law. It's based on department need. It's within budget. You're not changing compensation. There's a vacant position. Say you have a vacant admin assistant. You really need a legal aid. After assessing it, is that going to be required to be done by resolution?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
100%. Why?
Because former county executive Pat Ryan often used that to reclassify positions and change job descriptions without coming to the legislature. So we would, you know, I believe it happened with Andrew Zink at least once, maybe twice. And it was a case where if you didn't pass the civil service test, then you reclassify it. Once you reclassify it, the person can then remain provisionally in that position without...
It happened a lot.
Yes.
A lot?
Yeah.
I mean, reclassifications happen as a normal course of any operation in government. It's a normal course of business.
I mean, I'm aware of multiple times when it happened to save somebody from losing their job because of a failing civil service test of a political appointee.
Okay. I mean,
I don't know about it in relation to failing a civil service test, but I know about it as a workaround of the legislature. I feel really strongly about this. I mean, in a
so in, of, like any position, all 1,500 positions in the county, the legislature, I just want to be very clear, you guys are going to speak on any reclassification, whether it's an admin assistant or a legal aid or anything else. This is no longer just management. This is every single collectively bargained position.
Well, the collectively bargained, if there's a desk audit, that's pursuant to civil service law.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying
well, you just said every.
We don't change position descriptions that way, but we may reclassify a position based on department need, and it's within the appropriation. That is normal. That is not an extraordinary action we take.
Give me an example of. I mean, one.
I just did. Like if. The public defender's office has a retiree that goes out of an admin aid, and really what she needs is a paralegal or a legal aid or something like that, then we'll reclassify the position and we'll approve it as long as it's within budget, the budget for the position. So it's just about normal operations and having that flexibility. I get on the management
side. The budget
side,
for the position or the, I mean,
position.
I feel like...
Not within the appropriation of the whole, it's for the position. That's what I'm saying.
This is a union position or not?
Union.
But that's not covered here. It says police not covered by collective bargaining.
Collective bargaining says New York State Civil Service.
No. In the
for
beginning, it starts off in here saying...
For employees.
Oh, right. Sorry, I focused on the trash
account. Yeah, this is already in there. It says talking about for not
so this
covered.
Is just going to affect management employees, but that doesn't fit the scenario you described altogether.
It fits other ones where employees have been, like where a management position was then reclassified into a civil service.
Something
position.
Else.
You couldn't do that without coming to the legislature.
I still think, still sort of feel like you come to the legislature. It's like, it's legislative authority.
Mike often did. I think Jen does and will. I just think that we're... You know,
management.
We're making changes for the executive who wouldn't.
But also, I mean, when we approve a budget, it's our authority in terms of approving the positions.
Management.
That's in all of them. That's we'll get to it. But that's legislative authority.
Section above to fix the compensation.
You're not in legislative authority right now.
This is legislative authority.
Yeah.
Not covered by a collective bargaining agreement.
So this wouldn't apply to civil service.
That's what I'm saying. So we're not disputing that.
I think we're all good. Okay.
Yes, I'm good.
High five. Now moving on to subpart K, the addition of, this is what the comptroller was, one of the examples she was referencing. The addition of part K where it says, and documents, including digital records and read-only access to software licensed by or owned by the county or its component units.
I don't understand why this is, why, I mean, it. I really need to understand, and Chris isn't here.
Listen,
we were the only ones with subpoena power. It was extended to the comptroller, which I agreed with. It was extended to the exec, which I didn't agree with.
Yeah.
But now this sounds like it's limiting subpoena power. We're really the investigatory body.
Yeah, put a pen for the council review.
I mean, I would almost strike the part in parentheses and just say and documents or digital records.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
But I feel like, is that what it used to say?
No. I mean, books, papers, and other evidence deemed necessary is a catch-all, but...
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm fine. Let's put a pin for council.
Mark, is this something that you came with, the read-only access portion? Or did they make this up on
their own? No, I did include digital access. We definitely had a problem under obtaining digital access.
So why don't we just say documents and digital access? Oh. Let's have council.
I just need to understand if this is expanding our power or limiting it.
I think this further defines the power we already had. Their attempt, because again, books, papers, and other material would be all of that.
But it doesn't. I think it expands it because you could make the argument that. If it's not a physical document, we don't have the authority. By adding this, you can say, well, now digital documents are now included, including software.
Other evidence deemed necessary.
Oh, okay. Well, Tracy, actually, he actually called me, like,
Cool.
But how do you know the evidence exists if you can't go see it?
How are you going to...
Because we would have access.
How are you going to subpoena the production of digital stuff if you don't know it exists?
The access to... Read-only access to software. So if, for let's just say... A good example, but bad example, is New World. If our legislative staff did not have access to New World, but we wanted access to it, and we were going on a fishing expedition looking for whatever we could find in there, that would be read-only access. We wouldn't know what we're going to find until we go through it. I don't. Right now, there probably is no other software that exists like that, but I don't know. We've got to live with this for another 8 years or whatever it is, 7 years, then... you know, the world's a changing.
I have to say, like, in a former role I had with the state where I had I controlled access to 450 security cameras, there was no way our council would have ever allowed even a judicial subpoena access to those systems. They had access to the videos and records of it, but not to sit there and look at the records. That's what they would call a fishing expedition, and it would be denied even on a judicial subpoena. So... it's just an interesting way of saying, like, I guess you don't know what you don't know is there, but it's incumbent upon the party who receives the subpoena to produce what's relevant to it, or they'd be sanctioned by the court. Correct. So subpoenaing access, I've never experienced that, and I used to get subpoenaed pretty much two or three times a week in my former role.
Yep.
So... I'm not disputing it. It's an interesting way of coming at it.
Yeah.
So let's put a council pin in that one. Anything? I don't see anything on the next page unless, Tracy, there's anything we had at the start of end of C10, start of C11.
No.
So on the next page, C12. The end of Part A, they said approval, and they strike in writing and add by what signature?
Is what signature defined?
Is there a legal definition of what signature?
I mean, those are asking because this is...
I don't really understand the necessity of this.
I don't either, and the reason I even ask is because as
you
I found out...
We don't even use wet signatures on most of our stuff.
Yeah.
This came from our office with a long explanation. Not us, but our office, right?
Do you need wet
signatures? No.
So I don't know if we need to do this.
I feel like the wet...
Tell you the school doesn't teach signatures.
Yeah, that was
the...
Yeah.
The other day, the kids don't know how to sign anything because they don't know cursive.
That was...
throughout the entire document.
Yeah.
What's the reasoning?
Because we had a county executive who was on vacation during the allowable time when he was supposed to sign or veto.
Pat Ryan. Sorry.
And he wanted to just have someone sign them electronically.
It was one of those oopsies.
Can I ask, since... a digital signature, not auto pen, digital signature certified is accepted in the many...
We said that we would have to, if we were going to do that,
yeah,
develop a system
DocuSign.
To make it an official signature, and the commission just decided that that should be a document that has a wet signature, which is a definition they got from somewhere, and because I have to keep the original indefinite.
Is the county executive going to be away for 30 days usually?
I have no idea, but to me, in the modern age and the ability to work from home and do other things, the requirement of a wet signature when you're an emergency or a storm or something like that seems just a step far, when I think something, a certified digital signature of some sort that's verifiable should also be acceptable. I mean, it's 2023. I get the auto pen stuff. I'm not saying,
so
like, signing without their knowledge,
but...
There's,
like, records I have to maintain the originals of, and they're very few things. It's, like, has to do with appointments, and
okay,
it has to do with local laws and resolutions. And those were the things that they addressed.
What is the problem that it causes?
I have to have an original document, and I can't really have an original document with an electronic signature on it.
But even with a certified digital signature, that's not, that's still an original.
No. So
like
she
reel
out
certified.
She prints out the thing and it's signed by three or four people.
I print out on paper a resolution. I physically print. There is only one. I print it out. I sign it myself. I deliver it to the executive within 5 days. She or he returns it to me in 10 days. How do you return that original document with an electronic signature?
Can we send this to the attorney? Because I actually, I know legal documents now can be signed electronically. I don't know if this,
can I,
if there's some.
I agree with this one.
Please.
Yeah, I can tell you, I mean, and Ken can speak to it too from having sat in the seat. I mean, there, I sign 100 documents sometimes a month, sometimes 50, sometimes 20, sometimes 30, and they all need a hard signature.
Yep.
And they usually have like six other signatures, three other signatures.
But the question is, do they?
Yes. The only ones that don't, the only ones that don't, no, I'm telling you, because the ones that don't are, there are certain ones from the state that J.E. signs for me, and then they come and have me hard copy signed.
That's by rule. That's by somebody, a body like this, creating a law and a rule that's requiring it. What we can do is be more modern about it for process sake, and it's still a valid legal signature. I guess that's my point, is we're making the rule here to require it. It doesn't have to be.
But that wouldn't be allowed. That's not considered a digital signature.
We don't have that in place for these things.
Well, we would have to get, we would have to get we would have to get DocuSign or one of the other services.
Yes.
I don't care much
about one of them with no something that I printed out saying that this person signed it.
I'm fine with these things being a real signature. I just think that for a couple of items that would have enough head notice that a vacation or even an emergency are not going to preclude it from happening unless the county executive is intentionally leaving it to the last minute. At which point, shame.
I mean, overnight, FedEx overnight, you know, we can...
That's how they did it.
That's what we suggested. We said just overnight them.
What was it, a law or a resolution? Or what?
It was all the resolutions.
All of the resolutions.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like this is a lot to spend energy on. Like, they moved it, they heard the argument, our clerk's office wants it. It's like, I'm good with keeping it.
I'm fine, we can change it later.
In 10 years.
High five.
Did you just say high five?
He did.
Pronoun changes.
Can we make a note that there isn't technically a definition in the document for wet signature?
Mm-hmm.
So it could be a spit on electronic signature.
I'm spit on my keyboard as I do it.
But it should be. There should be a. Maybe it's an official legal term. I don't really know. All right. So if it's not, can we just confirm that? Can we make a note to confirm that it's a.
Where does Honor get off to?
He had to go. We thought David Gordon needed to come.
C-17, the grammatical stuff, and pronouns.
Nick is coming, but he just couldn't be here on pet free.
Well, we're about to get into his section right here.
See, where are we up to? C-20. Okay.
C-21.
Council of the Legislature Minority Council.
Mm-hmm. Okay. These are good.
So the C-21 is the new Part A.
We finished C-20?
It's just grammatical. So any issues with the new Part A?
And by the clerk, it means the county clerk.
No longer defined.
Well, if it was defined, I would mean that.
I don't go with that.
Wait, hold on. I'm just trying to get there. We're at C-21. Oh, this is filling membership vacancy.
I struggle to find the utility in requiring that somebody file a legal notice of something because nobody reads the legal notices.
Mm-hmm.
But, say levy.
Say levy.
It just sounds like a good reason to make the county spend money.
So we talked about it's funny that in the language that they wrote, they didn't follow. Didn't we say that it was going to say clerk of the legislature when it was clerk? And they said they didn't do that.
Okay, so can we make clerk of the legislature?
Let's make a note that we need to go through the whole document, and wherever it's the clerk of the legislature, we have to write clerk of the legislature, and wherever it's county clerk, we have to write county clerk, just for clarity. Who's we? It's easy. I mean, I can do it. It's not so hard, but let's just make a note that it needs to be done.
I got you.
Should we change the name of one of them?
No. And then I think that for C21, if it's staying, that's fine, but I feel like we should say within 3 business days of a vacancy in the county legislature. We should clarify with the vacancy.
Anyone else? Welcome, Council, to the changing of Ulster County's future.
Did you say clerk of Ulster County, county clerk?
Clerk of the legislature, county clerk.
County clerk.
Those two. Which this conversation happened. It was very clear, but I see that they didn't do it. I see that it's not. And there's not a ton of places.
Okay.
All right. Moving on to...
Clerk of the county legislature, whatever. It is county legislature.
C23. The county executive shall be elected from the county at large, shall be a qualified elector of Ulster County for at least 3 years prior to the time of their nomination.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, please.
In addition, I have a definition for geographically diverse when y'all are ready.
Okay. What do y'all think about this? C23.
Of adding a qualifier of three years.
There's nothing in state election law that would preclude us from adding this, right? It's just an additional qualification.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like Rob Astorino can't appear on for county executive.
I'll give him an idea.
I like this. I would rather it be 5 years, but.
Yeah. I'm fine with 5 years.
I mean,
why don't we put the baby and say 4 since it's a 4-year?
Three just seems so random.
I want to say that I think we should be mindful of how many things we change. Like, I think if we really feel strongly it should be a different year number of years, then we should do it. But I feel like splitting the difference and just changing to change, we're bound to get the, you know, a bunch of pushback. Look what happened last time.
I mean, I actually think that Aaron's point about four makes sense because it's the length of a term. Mm-hmm. So you have to be here for at least one term. You know, I said 5. My 5 number is because in state law to run for the Senate Assembly, you have to be a New York State resident for at least 5 years.
Mm-hmm. I
like the 4 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that we've got a good reason to change it before. Because 3 doesn't make a lot of sense.
Okay.
I also think to be acting executive, you should have to live here for longer than a year, but...
Yeah.
We've already had an acting executive who was living here for less than a year.
The only thing I'll say is comment. I don't know how you could fix it, but it's just a little weird the way it's worded because you're saying 4 years prior
to
the nomination and election.
You don't have to be a deputy. I feel like
it should just be the election.
Mm-hmm.
The nominations.
Actually,
it's
based on quality.
So
when it became executive,
But you wouldn't be able to get nominated if you're not. You could get nominated if you were not. Let's say you're just on the cusp of it. You could get nominated in theory, if at the election time you would be here for 4 years.
But you could get elected without being nominated. You could be a write-in. So it's just making it's adding both. You know, you can be nominated. You can't be nominated by a party without living here for 4 years, and you can't be a write-in candidate and win without living here for 4 years. That's just one example of where you could get elected without being nominated.
I see what John's saying, though, and I think it makes sense to, we don't need nomination in there. I think removing nomination and just leaving it at election.
I think that the purpose of it was to have nomination, elections to catch all that Tracy's talking about, in order to be, you know, because you become a candidate once your petitions are filed. So that's when you're nominated. This isn't talking about conventions, they're unofficial. This is at the time of nomination when the voters nominate you by petition. There's other places in law and rules, like in the assembly, if you're going to run for state office, you are no longer allowed to be employed by the state assembly once you're nominated for that office. So after petitions are filed with your name on them and you're a candidate, off the payroll.
But it wouldn't matter. You could not be nominated if you won't have 4 years here, because you can't hold the office anyway. You wouldn't have the 4 years. So what would be the difference? You're getting nominated. That's a function of election law. Why do
the difference is if you stay at the time of your election. So at the time of nomination, you have to have your 4 years by the time you're nominated.
You're giving them extra six months.
I'm fine with that if that's what you want to do, but then it's weird the way it reads because it's sort of and election.
I think it's because of what Tracy's saying. You don't have to be nominated to be elected.
But I think it's also fine to just say elected. I mean, who cares about?
I mean, there is precedent on the federal level of people being nominated and elected to federal office, Congress and the Senate, that have not met the age requirement at the time of their election, but they did meet it before taking office. So if their birthday was in late November, mm-hmm. they were elected at 29. To like Joe Biden was elected to the Senate at 29, mm-hmm. but he turned 30 before he took office, so...
I think that's the most important, is the election, not the... Mm-hmm. Which is...
The reason nomination is even in here is because it was really addressing the elected part, qualified elector part.
They have to live in Ulster County for 4 years prior to...
The consumption of the following term?
No, for 4 years prior to taking office. Just like it is on state and federal. They do it by taking office, not by the election calendar.
Which makes more sense because you're not the exec until you're the exec. You're the exec.
And then that would also solve an issue if you were, like, filling a vacancy.
Yeah, uh-huh. Or had moved here three years and 6 months ago, but you knew you'd be qualified once you took office.
Yeah, and technically they would have, which means they would have had to live here for 3 years before the nomination.
Yeah.
And I think that's the spirit of this. Can we then ask for language, not figure it out right now, because it may not be taking office, but ask for the language. Basically what we're looking to do is 4 years.
Upon taking office.
Yeah.
4 years
prior to the date
Assume the office.
But let's find good language.
Yeah. Cool.
The next major
in their report is section C-26, part C. What is the addition?
I had asked, I don't remember if this was the three of us, but I had asked to remove the exec conducting studies and investigations. They left them in. This would be a big battle point. I'm just saying it just for reference so you know what I brought to the committee. That was added. That was not in the original charter. That was added at the request of then-executive Mike Hine. And I just felt strongly that, as in the model at the federal level, you know, it's the House and the Senate that are really conducting investigations, not so much the Office of the President. But again, I'm aware that this would be an inflection point if we brought it back in.
Yeah.
they didn't accept it, so.
You don't think that they could just, you know, again, you don't think that they could have studies and investigations on their own? I mean,
it's duplicative is the other thing. So it's in C-25, like if you look ahead, it's in C-25, 8, or you look behind, it's in C-25,
8.
Where are we? C-25P. We're in C-25P. It's also in C-25H, maybe? Supervised executive committees, commissions, and boards. So that's the original had H, which is allowed them to have executive committees, commissions, boards, in the exercise of their executive function. So that was the whole concept of,
well, that would be committees, but this is different than committees.
So what's an investigation they would need to do that wouldn't be they couldn't do automatically?
I mean, I think that they could do them automatically, which is why not just leave it rather than start a fight over something that they can already do.
Right. But what's the example?
Space study. Where's Joe?
Well, that wasn't that. They didn't do that. We put in for that.
Public Works, we're
conducting it.
We passed a resolution to do it, but they did it.
Right, but we passed a resolution to do it. We passed a resolution. I put it in the budget.
Personnel study. I mean, we passed a resolution.
We passed
a
resolution to do that too. That's not so much what I'm talking about. I mean, I think what I was. It's a pretty broad power to give them to investigation. Like, what's the investigation they're gonna?
We conduct personnel.
They conducted an investigation against Hector.
We conduct personnel investigations as a normal routine of business. If there's complaints, there's grievances.
That's an H, I would say.
Personnel?
That's
H? Really?
Where are we?
That's
committees.
That's committees and commissions and boards. That's the OPWDD.
It's also reinforced in, look, C-28 is advisory committees, commissions, and boards.
But that's not
the same thing.
No.
C-28 and H are the same thing.
Mm-hmm. All right. I feel like I would lose this fight, but I do feel like it's incredible. I feel like in terms of the separation of power, we're giving incredible power to the exec's office.
There you have it.
Yes, that's the point. We're giving them more because we're giving them broad power to conduct investigations. They can investigate the legislature. They can investigate.
They already investigated a legislator.
Well, that's a personnel investigation. That's not by the charter. That's not in. Highlighting a personnel investigation as an investigation, I feel like, is misleading. Because personnel, by definition, conducts investigations. That's what personnel does. That's not an executive investigation. That's not the power of the executive.
I don't feel like that was necessarily a...
Let's not get into a specific one. Let's just... I'm in a specific investigation. What I'm saying is personnel conducts investigations all the time.
I understand.
You know, that...
I understand that. I don't believe that the other investigation was a personnel investigation.
Okay, but
so
it fell under purview.
Where are you seeing this as being removed?
It wasn't. I was asking for it to be removed. It was added by Hein.
Okay. All right.
But so I'm just letting everyone know that I asked for it to be removed, but they didn't remove it.
Would the I'm going to use the word study because I don't know what else to call it. The study of the use of the Trudy Farber building in Elmville, would that be considered a study under this? Because the exact office did do that. We didn't ask them to do it.
That would be. I would guess that would be. I mean, I think that would be is already covered. But again, I don't think it's like not worth getting in a big fight over it again. We already tried that. All
right. So moving on to
Something cooking. Does someone smell like toast?
The windows are open, and Santa Fe is probably firing up the grill.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't like having a stroke.
All right,
no,
that's legit.
You're fine.
Smell cut grass.
C-26, Part C, last sentence.
Wait, where are we?
C-26, Part C, last sentence.
That was our suggestion.
I'm good. Thumbs up, high fives.
Sounds good to me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on to C-29, an updated Part C.
Where is B?
I would personally like to change this one.
C-29B. Yeah, please go ahead.
I think that we should, and again, ambivalent on exactly how the wording happens, but I think that a person who is going to be designated to a list of succession should have the qualifications to be county executive under the charter. I think that they should have 4 years of residency.
Just reference the previous.
Would that change? They would then be defined as a qualified elector.
No, qualified elector is just somebody who can vote in all three county elections. I think that you should be able to be elected county executive if you're going to serve as acting county executive.
Yeah.
So
Larry just had a 4-year resident, and...
Well, I think what Ken said is the we could say that, or
to
just
be on to be on the list of succession, you must have the same qualifications as section blah, blah, blah under this law.
Yeah, yep. C-23.
Can I just make the point, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong, that anything, pretty much anything we suggest changing in this section is going to require a competing referendum to the referendum that they've filed, that is going directly to the voters.
It's going to have to, we don't have the ability right now to put anything on referendum, so it'll happen next year.
Right, but
it won't
I'm
be
just
a
but
competing referendum.
Well, their referendum's in. Their
yes.
referendum's in. That's going to say this, and if we make changes, right, our referendum would be in saying something different, and there'll be two referendums on this, idea potentially on the same ballot. One that's submitted by them, theirs is in. This, what we're looking at right now, is in as a referendum for next year. So anything we change in here is going to...
I'm fine with that.
I'm just stating a point, which I think is correct. Am I correct?
Sounds right.
Next year,
though,
right? Not this year. But I thought that theirs was on the ballot this year.
Yeah, theirs is.
Is theirs on the ballot this year?
This year,
Oh, they got it in on time. Okay.
That's some cheap ballots.
Oh,
so there we go. We can fix
it. We change it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Beautiful.
So we'll accept it with those changes.
Does anybody have any more comments on that?
Well, just only if you reference 23, that ties it to nomination and elections. So these folks are not being nominated.
So we're getting rid of that. We're finding language to get rid of nominations and elections.
You weren't here, I think.
Yeah, you stepped out of the room.
You weren't here yet.
Okay.
Oh, you weren't here yet. Fair. Yeah, we're going to get rid of nominations and elections.
We're going to 4 years and taking office.
Which would mean the same would apply here. They could have been.
4 years.
They could have served 2 years. They could have lived in the county for 2 years before working for the executive and served for 2 years under the executive and be eligible. But two of those years happened while they're in a deputy executive or whatever role.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to Part D.
Oh, no. They would have to be, in order to even be designated, they'd have to have the full years.
If the vacancy in the office of the county executive occurs on or prior to 21 days, this is the situation we had with the Ryan administration.
After the event, Okay.
Yeah.
This is my biggest problem with what they've submitted to the voters. I agree absolutely. I think everybody agrees that there's a problem with this section. It seems like the exec's office agrees, the legislature, I'm going to just hazard a guess, we all agree that there's a problem with this timing of the section. I know the comptroller's office agrees. I do not agree with having a, an appointed person from a list of designees where the legislature has no say over serving for close to 2 years. I just, 22 months is what, my understanding is the max of what this plays out to, and I have a problem with that. I'm going to express that as a poll, but I feel like we, but yeah, I think we need to address, figure this out.
The next general election after 21 days for designated petitions is only 6 months.
No, well, designated petitions get turned in April.
April. So that would be May, June, July, August, September,
October,
6th.
November.
That's only if the executive resigns before petitions. If the executive resigns the day after petitions, then you go all the way through until the next petition, and then that's what Tracy's saying about 22 months. And I agree with her. I'm less bothered by it if we have someone who's lived here for years.
Yes, please.
I just want to say, you know, the executive already comes before the legislature for a lot of confirmations. And to my mind, I can't even picture a single deputy county executive that's been appointed that wouldn't have been approved by the body. I just can't see it. I'm not saying it would never happen, but think about it. Think about how many people they already bring before this body for approval, for confirmation. It's really not that high of a bar, considering how many appointments are already coming to the legislature for approval.
We already have it, though.
So because this is on the ballot, Mr. Chairman, in November, does it really make any sense for us to, if we have proposed changes to this to do this, considering it's on the ballot? Or
yeah,
I think
we should do it. Absolutely think we should do it.
Yeah, because whatever they vote this year, essentially it could be overturned next year.
Yeah.
Won't matter. I mean,
it's
the commission,
yeah.
You know. It's
why did they say circulating designated petitions rather than the filing of designated petitions?
Because you can circulate on the last day to file.
Not always. They've changed it a couple of times. So, just a thought.
So what is...
I'm still reading. Yeah. The next general election, and I'll be filling, after the election, I'll be filling the other side of term. Person so elected at the general election shall serve for the balance of the unexpired term.
That's
if it's full 22 months, then it's awful.
If said vacancy occurs after 21 days before the last day for circulating designated petitions, that the vacancy shall be filled by the next general election held next thereafter.
I'm sorry, what I missed.
Okay.
What did I miss?
We're still talking about the same thing.
The 22 months.
I was, Marge suggested making the deputy county executives confirmed by the legislature.
Oh, gotcha.
And then at least you would have, but again,
it helps.
It would have to be the succession plan determined by the legislature, because when Mike was executive, Bert was in the line of succession, and one of the deputy executives was not.
Pat had Tim Wiedemann in the line of succession.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe it should have been actually approved.
I mean, I think...
Would that make you more comfortable?
It would help, but I still think 22 months is way too long. Like, I don't know how... I missed some of the conversations. I don't mean right now. I mean in the commission. I don't know how this was the only fix. I feel like there must be a fix that allows for it not to happen as it did the first time, where it's so close. I mean, for me, it's like if you have only X amount left in your term, then why have a special election if there's only 8 months left in a term? But 22 months.
The alternative was what just happened with County Executive Metzger's election in November.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the alternative to having a acting executive for 22 months or whatever it is. But that was the alternative to holding a separate special election, that wouldn't have been on the day of the scheduled general election, which I think the reasoning behind this is to avoid having to schedule and pay the cost of a low turnout special election that's not going to be on the normal scheduled general election day. I think that's what they're trying to avoid, and I think what the public, is hesitant towards, because, we don't want to be wasting money. We want to be cognizant of taxpayer dollars, and the Board of Elections doesn't want to have to be having to go through the process of having to hire poll workers for a low turnout special election that they could potentially have scheduled at the next general election. I don't think there's no perfect answer to this. It's every part of it, every potential resolution has downsides to it. There's really no perfect answer.
I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
if when you look at the federal model, and actually I'm sure it's the state model as well, the line of succession are elected people. The next in line is the vice president, who's elected, the deputy governor, who's elected, and then after that, the speaker of the house, who's elected.
Cabinet secretaries are not, they're appointed.
That's what happens, yeah, it's like, I mean, we're, yeah, exactly, you'd have to have a serious, like, mass
disaster
with everyone in a room. So that's my concern is 22 months with a person that's not elected. And it helps to have the requirement of qualifications, although it's just really not, it's just not necessarily enough. Like, it's a residency qualification. I just, 22 months is a long time, it's a long time. So I don't have an answer right now, but this is one that I don't really...
Do you want to put a pin in it?
I don't really feel so comfortable with it.
Put a pin in it. Does anybody know what, not that obviously we have to mm-hmm. follow it all, but in terms of what the logistics and circumstances are, what's on the books for across the river in Dutchess County, what the...
The deputy county executive serves until the end of the term. Bill O'Neill's been serving as county executive since Marcus got elected to Congress. And he serves until the next person's elected this year. I think until the next person takes office.
Yeah.
I don't even think that the new executive starts in,
November.
It'll be January.
I mean, it works out that he's like the least political guy in Dutchess County, but...
So let's put a pin on this and...
I prefer this over what happened.
Yeah, I'm not like... Totally against. Oh, yeah, sorry.
Thanks. I understand you're putting a pin in it. I'd like to suggest thinking about what other, if any other electeds could hold that office. I know we are. Maybe not. But also tying the date perhaps to the independent petition deadline instead would give another month and a half, close to 2 months, and shorten the maximum time that an acting executive could serve. And maybe you'd have to have a special primary if the parties were involved. Maybe the parties don't have to be involved.
I just want to point out that the list, the acting county executive list, which it's interesting because they call it, in section G, they call it a list to serve as acting county executive, the same as, they don't necessarily call it a succession list, but it is approved by the legislature. They're suggesting that it be confirmed.
It's because currently it's not, right?
It's not, no. And if modified, if the modification gets confirmation by the legislature.
Mm-hmm. If it goes on.
And if they fail, then the legislature appoints the acting.
This goes on through for E, F, G, and H on the next page.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where. But just so we are, we flag that for ourselves.
So we'll put a pin on that and put our brains to work in the next week. But yeah, it sounds, it's better than what we have now. So,
mm-hmm.
So then moving on to
the whole section 29?
Yeah, put a pin.
Including G,
yeah.
All of them?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Article 4, C-33, you can see the addition of the legislature and the comptroller upon the proposal of the executive budget. Looks good.
What reason would there be for that?
Our comptroller answer that.
I can speak to that. It really helps us in our audit work to see what the budget departmental requests are, and we've had to subpoena that information previously, but it helps us keep a good understanding of what the department's goals and mission are,
yep.
And it helps us see where there are changes and refinements.
I mean, I wouldn't have a problem with it being after the budget process. I don't think it's needed when the budget's submitted to us, but that's just my point of view.
I would concur with that. It seems like the budget process is an executive and legislative function, and if we're not filing it with the sheriff, I guess it's an end-of-the-year thing. That's an audit function, not an active process.
I'm fine with the timing, but I just want to say the sheriff does not have fixed budget.
But he's just part of the budget process. It's the executive budget, and it's the appropriating body that's considering the information contained therein. The audit function wouldn't actually occur until after it's done.
I agree with that. I'm fine with the timing, but I just want you to know we use current requests for audits to review prior material. You know, it may affect our thinking and our understanding of programming and expenditures that happened previously, but we're fine with that. We would be fine getting it from the legislature. We would be fine waiting till the budget is adopted. But having access to those are really critical for us. Thank you.
I don't disagree that access is important. And once they're filed with the legislature, they become a public document anyway.
Yeah,
that's
fine.
That's fine.
All right. C-24, part C.
C-34?
Yeah. C-34, new part C.
C seems fine for me. I don't remember where that came from, but that's fine. I just wanted to remind.
March is raising her hand. Our
okay. So yeah, that's good.
Any other issues or concerns on that?
No, not on that.
Yeah, that's well before we move on.
On 34, I want to talk about.
Yeah, but let's just. We're good.
Fist pump on
we're
that.
Good. Fist pump. Now, new part, what did you talk about C-34?
Yeah. I just want to flag, this is going to, I'm sure it's going to make Chris happy that I'm bringing it up, that I had brought up and asked for, per our conversation, a month earlier budget submission, which some of the commissioners suggested even August, which was, you know, it's probably not doable at all. But, again, I think with the departmental estimates, I would still love to get it earlier, but I'm not going to be here, so.
I don't really, and you know, you and I have talked about this, I don't support earlier. Earlier is just going to be less
accurate.
Accurate.
Yeah, I'm okay not fighting about it. I just want to say that it was brought up, and we'll see how it goes with as budget estimates. That would
I'm the,
be really
you know, I'm one of the bigger proponents of legislative powers against executive powers, but that one I feel like, you know, the earlier you go, the less accurate you're going to be, and,
mm-hmm.
and the more changes are going to be required.
And then 34B, oh, they did, the three fiscal
yeah.
years. That was us.
Yeah.
What was the previous, that was prior to the addition of that, what was, it was just the previous year?
I believe so,
yeah.
Which, in practice, we got multiple years for years, and then it stopped for a while. And then, I mean, back in the earliest days of the executive house, I think we definitely got at least three. We might have gotten even more. Like, those books were turned the other way and had more columns of numbers and
next
information.
Next is C-37. Legislature or a standing legislative committee designated by the legislature.
I would like to change geographically dispersed to geographically diverse.
Yes, will it match? Throughout the document, shall it forever match the Kendall geographical diversity?
So you never gave us a definition. This would be appropriate time. We're waiting.
Geographically diverse shall mean municipal buildings or places of public accommodation that are at least 30 miles apart from each other or one another.
You can't say 30 miles apart. Because if you're saying that, then that's as the crow flies, and that puts us into the other counties, just about.
How about 30 miles apart?
By road,
north
it's
south.
A different story. But as the crow flies, it's a different
30
story.
Miles by road. I mean,
okay.
if that's, I'm
yeah,
fine
yeah,
with that.
30 miles by road.
Yeah.
30 miles apart from one another by road.
I'm going to conduct a study and an investigation in order to ascertain where that's going
to
be.
So, from Saugerties to Walk Hill is 40 miles. From Marlboro to Greenfield Park is 40 miles. From Marlboro to Bel Air is 71 miles.
Wow.
But what happens when you put the county seat in there? Because do they have to be from each
one
other,
including
the county seat? One has to be in the county seat, according to this new thing.
It is more than 30 miles from the county office building to my house.
But it's not from Ellenville. It's 27 miles.
And it couldn't be in New Paltz.
Just don't count that.
We could do 25 miles. I'm fine with that.
I just think 15 or 20. I think, you know, you're...
Sure, Ken will give us a free...
Let's think this through because...
Free
yeah.
space at the Shongum Town Hall.
100%. All are welcome. I just... I think farther is better, but again,
I'm good
you know,
with that.
It's just there's certain. Well, I guess that makes sense. Well, let's
all about Ulster County didn't include Shungum.
We could
so.
Get nitpicks on the forever, so
yeah.
I accept
well,
it.
It didn't?
This is a historic day.
It didn't include Shungum
yeah.
either.
So we'll make those changes. Yeah.
30.
Yeah.
Let
okay.
nobody ever say again that we are not considering all corners of.
Yeah.
I'd say we could guarantee we have one in Shongum, but that wouldn't be very fair.
Did you just say that, or did you write it somewhere?
I wrote
it's written.
It, but I'll need to rewrite it.
Yeah,
little.
Okay.
All right, so C-37.
Oh, can we ask counsel? Does wet signature have a legal definition?
I was actually researching that because I saw that in here, and I was curious as to, you know, what that meant.
The
it
term
clearly means
is
physical signature.
Yeah.
With a pen.
But if you don't know it automatically, then it means like.
Yeah. There is a state electronic signature act, which I was starting to look into just to see if.
We'll give you more time.
Yeah. Is it the definition you're interested in strictly, or
mm-hmm. what if we need to
yeah,
define
the definition
strictly? Why do we need to? We're accepting its inclusion most likely in the. In the document, but we're not sure if we need to define it within the definition.
Can I just, in the interest of, yes, we should definitely, if Nick's willing to research, that's great,
sure.
But I think we should just include a definition. I mean, we're using it all throughout
so
the document.
Come up with a definition and or copy and paste.
All right. Yeah, not a problem.
Right.
I mean, here it just says, wet signature is a term to describe the process of signing a physical paper document form or contract with pen and ink.
That sounds beautiful.
Let's use that.
Done.
We'll use that.
Or a wet signature refers to endorsing a physical paper document by signing their name with a with a pen, wet ink. I think the first one's better.
I like the first one.
First one.
And the first one is actually from DocuSign.
DocuSign.
I just want to point that out. I just want to point that out. I can see that from here.
Wet
that's
signature
who it's from.
Is a term. I'm gonna cut and paste it to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, cool. So we're good with C37?
Yep. With the change, the geographically diverse from dispersed.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
So now we are C38. Part J. The legislature shall deem appropriate by December 31st of the adopted budget year.
I gotta get that. What page?
C38J.
Part J.
Does that work for our office, December 31st, for providing copies at such regional level? All right.
Cool.
No objection.
This pump to Article 5, Part B.
What about C40A?
Increase.
Sorry, I missed that. C40A. Oh, I missed that. Sorry, thank you.
Wait, and I...
So the next prop is C40A, Part A. That the effect of such change may not be to reduce or increase the rate of pay.
Okay, there we go. Thank you.
Yeah. Now we're on Article 5, Part B. End of Part B. The state and shall be vested authority directed. They shall perform other and related duties required by the county executive and shall be vested with authority, direction, control of the Department of Health, including power to appoint and remove officers and employees within the department.
Wait a minute, can we go back to A? Because there's a deletion here. I just want to know what, if anybody knows the reason.
Oh, sorry, I totally missed that.
Yeah.
So we'll go back to
absolutely
A.
Absolutely not. I don't support that whatsoever.
Where?
Taking out license position? Absolutely
why,
not.
Yeah, why would they?
Where are you?
C41A.
Oh, 41A.
I think
oh,
that
I strongly
sense.
Support that.
I think COVID has proven that makes sense.
You strongly support reinstating that?
I'm not reinstating it, taking it out. I think if you were to go back and listen to the meetings, I'm probably the person most largely responsible for putting it in as a physician. But I advocated for taking it out, and it's for what John said too. It's one to conform with the state, simply to conform with the state, and two, COVID taught us a lot. Like, would a medical doctor that happens to be, I don't know, pick a specialty. A podiatrist?
Oncologist?
Yeah, well, oncologist. Than a public health
than a
specialist.
Doctor in public health rather than someone that's an ER doctor.
Yeah, and I think I'd like to be able to leave it.
I think it makes total sense.
Yeah.
Or even like emergency services, PAs, RNs. There's so many public health professionals that I think.
I'd be
emergency services.
I'd be okay with making a list, but I'm not okay with leaving it up to Joe Schmo off the street, which this does.
I don't think it does, because I think the state has requirements.
Yeah,
that's the point.
Yeah.
The state has some.
Yeah, but all you have to have is an MPH, I think.
Master's in Public Health. But a Master's in Public Health means you're... I think that's a good requirement in order to...
I think it's a great requirement,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think
but
it's
But that's not a physician.
But a licensed physician doesn't have a master's in public health.
They're taught to how to treat people, not to run organizations. Or
ours added to the state requirement didn't supersede it. So ours was a physician that had to have an MPH. Dr. Smith has one. The previous doctor has one.
Yeah, why would we want less, not more?
It can still be a doctor, but I don't know why it has to, like, the person has to be, like, a...
We've had top officials leading the COVID response
at
the national level that are not MDs.
Doctors listen to public health.
That is not a good argument. That is a bad argument.
Okay.
But if you ask any licensed physician, the one place they get input for is public health officials.
But
I would put a public health official in terms of running a county health department above a licensed.
They have the same qualifications. This is in addition to.
They have different expertise and career experience.
Right, but what John's saying is they would have to be an MPH
anyway.
And a doctor.
Yeah, so it's giving additional requirement.
Is that they don't need to
be
a doctor.
We're striking out the license.
That's the argument being made. It's not the argument that John and I agree with.
I know you don't, but I'm saying that's additive to a requirement that's accepted around the state and around the country.
What they're saying is it's better to have an MPH than an MD, et cetera, et cetera. What John and I are saying is we're not discounting the MPH. We're just saying we'd like them to have more qualifications.
I'm thinking in addition to an MPH, they would be a licensed physician.
I would strongly argue that the qualification of a physician is not additive.
Not necessarily.
Additive.
What resume things of a licensed physician to directly relate in terms of overseeing a Department of Health?
And I don't have my full argument because I made this argument.
But let me make sure I'm not, maybe I am hearing it right, it's just we're not agreeing, but maybe I'm not hearing it right. This person, the Commissioner of Health, would still have to have a MPH.
Mm-hmm. I'm not 100% sure.
That's what it says right now. I mean, I'm reading it, right?
Yeah.
But we used to say before the strikeout, in addition to an MPH, so if two people, pre-strikeout, it would be an MPH plus an MD or a DO. Strikeout, just an MPH. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying, why would you not want somebody who has both, an MD or
a
DO?
It can be both. We're saying it doesn't have to be.
But
a cardiologist in relation to the functions of the health department and being a cardiologist, I don't see where there's a necessary connection.
Okay, the only argument I will say is that even a cardiologist, or even, and I hate to say it this way, but even a podiatrist has basic medical training before they go into their specialty. They went through med school. They chose a specialty.
Yes, but medical function as a director of...
They still have to have the MPH. That's their experience or qualifications for public health, but their additional qualifications or requirements...
So maybe current really constrains the ability to get very... possibly prevents the ability to get really qualified people to run the Department of Public Health.
I think it prevents you from getting certain people.
You don't have...
I argue it gives you...
Is it always a licensed physician that runs the hospital?
Yeah, medical director. It has to be.
You have a medical director. You don't have them running the hospital.
For medical things? It has to be...
But they're not the CEO. They're not running the organization necessarily.
No.
But this person isn't a CEO either. This is the medical director for the county.
But they're over...
The CEO...
They're not the medical director for the county in the same way that you're describing. They're not running a service organization wholly. They're also doing environmental health, sanitation, those things.
Now, earlier, Ken, you suggested a list. What if... It sounds like what I'm hearing from you and from John, if I was on the committee, I would be voting with you. It sounds like we want to have somebody... who also has practical caregiving experience for sure, and which having a medical degree certainly does that, or having, maybe it could be a different kind of experience, RN,
MD.
Practitioner, like a licensed medical caregiver who does the field work as well.
County executives still go that route.
Yeah,
no, I'm saying, but I'm hearing you want that required, and
well,
suggesting the committee.
Yeah,
right.
We have public health nurses.
That makes sense.
We have public health nurses that provide the minimal hands-on care that the county provides, which technically, I think doesn't go procedure-wise beyond booster shots.
Clinics.
Clinical work. To me, I think this makes sense as having a potentially better county health department.
I still don't understand what you mean by better, but because the way...
Because how many people... Think about the pot in which of expertise you can choose from in this area. A licensed... I mean, we're super fortunate that we got Dr. Smith, but there's not many Dr. Smith just ready to put down the white coat and go run a county health department.
You don't want a career.
And there's people that are plenty qualified to do so that don't have spent their whole years in public health and could even have a doctorate in public health but wouldn't qualify to be our director, our commissioner of health. This doesn't make sense to me.
I mean,
you
know, what
there
about
are other places, like the state requirement, that goes far beyond the state requirement.
But this state requirements for county, I got it.
Yeah,
I think the state
that they require
requires the MD.
We're going against the grain of the.
I mean,
well,
this is
the
first time we've required something more than the rest of the state, and some counties do require
a
doctor.
But I'm saying by us doing this, we're actually hindering the ability to get the best people running the health department, potentially.
I think you're hindering the possibility of getting certain people to run. I'm not sure that you're hindering the best
more
people.
Opportunities.
Well, you're not
they
stopping
could still, they could still
medical
choose someone
MDs
that happens to have
So, I mean, what about, you know, the director of public health or commissioner of public health shall have one of the following licenses, MD, PA, NP, BSN, something like that, where you have options, so it's not just a doctor, but you're bringing somebody in who's got an advanced degree in medicine. I don't know. Just a thought.
Yeah, I'm going to think about it. I mean, I'm not sure. I got to find my notes because I
have
a couple of notes on
this.
Yeah.
That might be a little too, it's like an associate's degree.
Yeah.
You know what the difference is between God and a paramedic?
What?
God knows he's not a paramedic.
That's a little bit of in this part of the So moving on to, I believe, Article 6.
Did you do
B? Believe me, no. We didn't finish B. No.
I mean, it's the same topic.
B is, yeah, that's standard, I feel like.
Okay.
Yeah, B is just included in standard
right.
language. I think we're good with,
yeah,
I think B
yeah.
is.
So next
fine.
Is Article 6, Part B, at the end. Commission of Mental Health.
I was against the creation of this department again in the first place. I think that the Commissioner of Health should have the ability to remove these employees, but I lost that battle. So.
Say that again? I'm sorry. What?
I said, you know, when we combined departments, the Commissioner of Health was responsible for both mental health and health. Now we have it separate, so we're giving the, you know, Commissioner of Mental Health the same power there. Which I don't, you know, again, I'm going to be alone on it probably because I was pretty lonely in opposing the creation of the department again.
Any concerns? Well, as with C-45.
Well, 45, I'll just say, point out there's a duplication of the word B. It's in there twice now, other than that.
And C-45 continues on to the next page. Well, it changes it from 6 to 12 years. The 12-year terms for board members and subcommittee members and the other. I have no issues.
The subcommittees are a makeup of the 15 members. That's what I'm understanding here?
Yes.
Okay. Do we have issues? This is just curiosity. To get 15 members currently?
I don't know.
Where are you at right now?
There are subcommittees. If you look at the boards and commissions page, aren't there like subgroups of the community services board for mental health and for several other topics? And I would say the people that you have on those right now aren't all on the board. So
I can check in with our Joanna.
It's accurate.
So they're not.
You don't have to be on the community services board to serve on one of their three subcommittees.
Part of defining the subcommittees and not make them
looks like
actually be members.
You have to be a physician unless you get an exemption from the state.
Seems weird.
I think the argument was just, again, I have to get my notes, but the argument was made just to make it the state requirement.
all you have to have is an MPA, certified by the American Board of Preventive Medicine, or an MPA, from a regionally accredited New York State registered college.
The top part doesn't mean you have to be a physician.
Any other issues, or can we move on?
We're on C45 still?
Yes.
So can I just make a general comment? It's not about C45, just again to tell you the things that I brought forward. So I requested, and I think you and Ken and I have spoken about standardizing language for department heads in terms of performing other and related duties as required by the county executive and county legislature, which is the case in some of the we certainly have it in department director of planning, director of purchasing, finance, that language. So I had asked for continuity across the organization, putting that language in, understanding that the county legislature would mean it's by resolution, but they didn't take that up. So that's
you
want to
put that in.
I mean, we can all talk about it. Think about
it.
So it would mean adding, do you know what you're following?
Yeah.
It would mean adding the language to, there's several sections, 41, 44, 61, 69. 41 is the first one that came up, which is why I'm bringing it up now. 69, 75, 90, 96, and 113. I mean, I can share this with everybody before the next meeting so that everybody can think about it.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
Okay. I would also, I mean, I don't need to this body, but since I'm speaking on a record, I would note that we have not abused this as a legislature,
no.
So it's not like
it could be,
willy-nilly
yeah.
Gonna, yeah.
But the thing is, it's not by or a county legislature,
right.
It's by the county legislature, which means you got to convince, you know, 12 or 16 people to do it.
Yeah, which is, you know, which has come up in conversation, I mean, in the past, not raising the specific, but I know with our previous Commissioner of Finance where there had been back and forth at one point when I said that I was putting in a resolution and confirmed that if the resolution passed, it would be a directive by the legislature, and
yeah.
It was confirmed that the action would be taken. So, again, I'll circulate the list to everyone just for continuity.
Yeah.
You guys have any issue with the term limit change from 8 to 12 years?
Where are we at?
C-45.
In that last part of C-45, they changed it from no more than 8 years to no more than 12 years.
I'm fine with that. It's tough to get people to turn up for it.
I don't have
accept that, and we'll put a pin in the other point for Tracy's notes.
So, what am I pinning?
The idea of adding, or counting.
Not, but you are accepting all the rest of 45.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I also circled the term chairman, just as a point of reference.
Yeah. All right.
For you all. To be fixed.
Let's keep going. Article 7. C-46, appoint a director of planning. They've added that the executive shall appoint the director of planning from among at least 3 nominees given by the Ulster Planning Board. I hate this thing.
I would just get rid of it right away.
I
don't think there should be any recommendation.
I feel really strongly and made the argument.
Extremely sure that there should be no... Like, I know who the representatives from my district are, but... Still, I think
it's so limited.
I think it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So you're advocating for an appointment of the executive, without...
Yeah, just how the executive appoints all other positions. So can we make that happen
and
with council?
Yeah, and can I just... I had language, so I
yeah,
suggested...
Please.
I had suggested removing... Starting with from among the 3 nominees... So the paragraph would then read, there shall be a Department of Planning headed by Director of Planning. The county executive shall appoint the Director of Planning subject to confirmation by the legislature. The director of planning shall be appointed on the basis of his or her professional training and experience and other qualifications for the responsibility for that office. But I'm open to whatever everyone wants to
say. Make sure council has that, and then
yeah.
Circle back to
and
that.
Then, you know, I think if there were a counter argument, and I'm just going to say, I haven't even allowed for a moment of the counter argument, but if there were a counter argument, if the planning board was going to make a recommendation as a pure, just a recommendation, that's one thing, but limiting the pool to those recommendations is actually really terrifying to me.
You could say, you know, the planning board, the county planning board can advise the county executive.
They could send them 21 recommendations.
But I don't want to limit the pool at all. And I think it's really critical that we get that sorted. Okay, good. So we'll get language for the next one.
Yeah.
Jay, can you remind me?
It's just technical language.
I did.
Probably
run
it out.
Nope. Limitless pins in this particular committee.
Like the rules. Yo, also flags.
This is your first, flag.
Did we already go
flag. My favorite was Jay.
Did we
already
go through legislative vacancies? We haven't gotten to legislative vacancies.
No. We got to it, but we didn't do anything because there was nothing there.
Then we're going
to
do it tonight.
The Laura's here, and I know you have restrictions on time, Laura, so...
No, I'm good now.
Okay.
Getting the kids off the bus.
Okay,
cool. I can.
In this day and age, yes.
She just sat on the couch and played on her phone all day. The kids were... they won't let the babies get off the bus without
the adult there. So next we're at C50.
Where are you... Am I pinning 47 with the same... C47, I'm sorry, with the same theory.
That's just the same language they've added. Shall be vested with us.
Yeah, I think
director.
That's fine.
Chair, may I say something about that language? That was brought forward by the director of personnel upon recommendations at the state level.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's in
there.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. That's good. So moving on to C50. Part E.
This is absolutely needed. My gosh in heaven. As I've seen with my county, with my town planning board, my town zoning board, the amount of projects that get held up just based on not being able to have a county planning board meeting, you're having to explode.
Yeah.
Because everything that where a project touches the county border needs to go to the county planning board, it's cumbersome.
Fist pump.
Yes.
Now we're on Article 8. Article 8, C53, Commissioner of Finance.
Oh, this would be a fun one.
You all can review and start. I'm going to get the rest of it, but you guys can start.
We won't be done by the time you get back. All right, so the first one is under A, you know, the Commissioner of Finance shall hold no other public office, free from conflicts of interest, must be capable of providing objective and impartial judgment. Anybody have any issues there?
No.
Seems like the language is, I get broad, vague, but it's well-intentioned. B is that same one.
Mm-hmm.
As previous, sir.
Yep, on the top. Act as the enforcing officer of the county for the purpose of the collection of the county's occupancy tax.
Hold on, this is back for A for a second. I just want to make a comment. I don't expect any support on it. I'll just tell you what's going on industry-wide. Where it says third sentence down and the changes here, it says must be free of any conflicts of interest. Some new language that is making traction in the compliance world is free from any conflicts of interest, real or perceived. is being added a lot for compliance. I don't expect us to do it, but I just throwing that out there because there's a lot of times you have a perceived conflict of interest and you have to take extra steps to alleviate that perception. And it's more of a,
I actually think in this one office, it makes the most sense because it's the head chief fiscal officer.
The only problem is there are legislators who remain nameless who perceive conflicts of interest where none exist whatsoever. How do you guard against that?
Because once it's perceived, then you have to take extra steps to demonstrate that there is none. So it's a requirement because if it's a perception, you actually have to take, you have to be more transparent.
What's
just saying you just
perception?
It's a subjective statement. They're the same way conflict of interest. While there are some definitions, there are some times where it's gray. Like we got a couple of us got flagged at the ethics board for conflict of interest where we disagree.
I actually put this in way before we knew about the problems with Commissioner Golnick. I mean, I had been feeling them on the ground, but we were not clear on the situation. And I agree with both points that were made. One, that this is overly broad and vague. Not the portion about serving another elected office or having compensated employment. That's a no-go.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of it, however, I also agree with Legislator Tavares on the compliance side, but my suggestion would be to look at the code of ethics, mm-hmm. the ethics law for the county, with regard to perception and compliance, mm-hmm. and because you have other things that I think should come to the fore. For example, the UCEDA board is not required to file disclosures under that law right now. So I just think from time to time this body is going to review that law and update it as a normal course of business. It doesn't necessarily have to be a charter issue.
Mm-hmm.
True.
And as the original author of this, I just wanted to say that now. And I think, you'll see as we go through this, probably this whole section where we made suggested changes, obviously a change in personnel at the finance department and procedures, it may get rid of the need for some of this.
Yeah, I agree with the controller. This is more of a policy statement than it was for a charter. I agree.
So, what are people's wishes?
I think we leave it alone.
Fine, yeah.
And then we had already gone through B, which was the same.
Yeah.
As previous.
Six looks fine to me.
10.
Fine.
11.
Right.
7, you forgot 7, May.
7.
Fine.
Oh, from
Alright, so then we'll check that off. C-54, we no longer have a county treasurer, so that's struck. Article 9.
Oh, hold on, I got one thing that they didn't take up.
Okay.
So, in 53 still, C-53C, which has the independent division of real property tax.
Mm-hmm.
It says, who shall be appointed by the county executive and serve at their pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
I ask for subject confirmation by the legislature. I mean, it's an independent division.
I'm fine with adding that.
I think that makes sense.
I'm fine.
Standard. Because it is the kind of standard.
Right,
we shall be appointed by the county executive,
subject to confirmation.
Subject to confirmation by the legislature.
Yeah. And still serve at the pleasure of the county.
Like all the others, but
thank you.
I think it's one we should. Thank you.
Alright, so Article 9, C-56.
Did almost all of this already get taken on? All the comptroller things or no?
No, not all of it.
Okay. As we go through, can you tell us what?
Yes. Yep. A was not in.
Okay. So let's.
A is fine.
A is fine.
You did 54. You're good.
C
54 is good.
D was not taken up by the ballot initiative, the referendum.
C.
That's just check the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just a, you know, a poll of the, you know, the feelings of the committee in terms of is there support in the committee for making the same qualifications for residency of the controller as that we spoke about for the executive in regards to.
I like that.
I have no issue with that.
Before we go any further, there's no support on the committee to eliminate the comptroller's position altogether, right? That's just me.
Can you repeat what you just said?
In regards to, so we previously for the executive,
I felt that way long before you became comptroller.
We felt it was in the interest of the committee had the interest of putting for a 4-year previous residency within the county before they are eligible to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems as if there is not an objection to adding that adding that to the qualifications of anybody who is going to be elected as controller.
May I just ask, you apply that to the sheriff and the clerk?
We're not allowed.
The sheriff you can't touch.
The sheriff, the clerk, and the DA are all constitutional officers. We can't touch them.
And
that's why we couldn't make term limits.
I also want to say I really need to think about it, and it's not just because the comptroller is sitting here. It's the requirement that an executive have a residency requirement, that they know this county, that they have lived here, in terms of setting policy. Even though we're policy, they're like functionally, they're functionally dealing with policy. They're submitting a budget that we work off of. They're the day-to-day face of the county, and in times of emergency, they wield pretty, really, really, really broad power. So I think it makes sense to the argument to have a residency requirement. But the role of the comptroller, as has been described as the fiscal watchdog of the county, or someone who's actually verifying, I'm not sure that I'm as vested that person have lived here for 4 years than that they're super qualified. So I really need to think about it. Not that we don't have the talent here, I'm very happy with our comptroller. I hope you stay comptroller for a long time. This is not about the personality. But I don't know that I want to limit the pool necessarily for that office. I'm thinking in real time, so I'm not really ready. I'm not ready to support that. I need to think about it, and I'd be curious, and not necessarily in this minute, since we're just thinking about it now. What everybody
else is. You're okay with the comptroller having no outside income?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Where's my fist bump?
C-57, the comptroller shall be the chief auditing officer of the county and be vested with authority, direction, and control over the department. That's good.
Okay.
Part A, the comptroller shall have read-only access to all software systems of the county except where precluded by law. The comptroller shall use risk assessment to identify weaknesses in internal controls and shall summarize improvements in internal controls in an annual audit report to the legislature and the executive by April 1 of each year. The proceeds then going on to Part B, procure from the depositories and investments, then adds to the end there that controls order and review bank reconciliations as prepared by the Commissioner of Finance. The Comptroller shall be authorized to have read-only access to all county accounts. Shall provide access. Part C adds and revenues. Part E adds journal entries.
So if I could pause you and say none of those changes are in the ballot initiative.
G. H. Any of them in?
G is in the ballot initiative. H is in the ballot initiative.
Can I speak on H for a sec?
Yes.
So, obviously, I supported the ballot initiative, so I'm again, just in the spirit of saying what I brought to the commission. And I do really, I would have liked to have seen the deletion of appointing citizens committees, commissions, and boards. And the comptroller and I spoke about this at length and had a respectful disagreement. But again, I don't feel like we need to spend a lot of time here on it now, because you win some, you lose some, and that's where I was at with this one.
So you're saying this?
I'm going to let it go, because we sent it to ballot initiative the way it is.
But
so,
amongst the other changes in C-57 that weren't included in the commissions?
C-59B is in the commission's, it's in the ballot initiative that was put forward, which is,
what does that mean? Striking it is in there?
B is added.
How are these not in the initiative? These are the provisions, recommendations.
It's the vacancy, I'm sorry. The revenues are not in the ballot initiative. I wish they were.
I'm jumping around.
Do you see what I'm saying? No?
No.
How is any of this not in the ballot referendum? This is the commission's report.
Can I just clarify for the clerk? So, we, the legislature, moved a bunch of initiatives for the comptroller on a separate ballot initiative to get it in on time, because they were initiatives
that...
These
didn't make it.
No, some of these weren't initiative worthy, because they weren't changing or curtailing power, so that they stayed here, because they could just be changed by resolution. The ones that were changing or were curtailing power,
so
even when...
only two, then?
Hmm?
That what? Won't need to be included in your local law. G and H.
So far, only G and H are on this.
So far, only G and H.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. And we will. Can we please confirm that by looking up what the legislature sent to the initiative, to the ballot?
It's
so we can cross
local
reference.
Law number 8 of 2023.
I know.
Thank you.
It's the ballot initiative.
But council
Council's
proposed. Supposed to turn my notes into a local law, so I need to tell them that they don't need to. So, where are you now? Accepting all of these?
So we accepting, is it the will to accept all these in?
57.
C-57?
Sure.
Anyone else?
Except for G and H, which are, or maybe you do it anyway? How does that work? G and H are in the ballot initiative
right
now.
But they're not going to be reflected in your local law, which is what the
exercise
is about, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we may decide, let's have council look at it, we may decide to just put them in our local law, because ours will pass first. Although I think we probably shouldn't, because it curtails, actually, as I'm thinking out loud, we probably shouldn't, because it curtails power. Not that you would fight us on it, but if somebody else decided to fight us on it, on the authority, it could affect the whole.
I would leave those out.
I would.
Because they would automatically be reflected after the referendum.
We need to wait till after the referendum to make it accurate.
If we're amending the sections that are under referendum, it's
not
really matter.
Right, we'd be amending, we're talking about amending everything but what's suggested in the referendum. We can amend something in a section that's under referendum.
Yeah, it depends on how you do it. You just need to show, though, what that, it depends on how you do it, but you've got to start at your base of what the charter currently says.
Yeah.
And you're not going to know what that is.
My point is, if those sections aren't changing.
No, if those sections aren't changing, then you don't need to do anything with them, except for acknowledge that they're there with letters, depending on how many you're changing.
Yes.
make a new change.
Agreed.
Yeah, so you just gotta factor it in.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else? We are now on to C58, add the word and remove, which obviously they should have that authority. C59, what, yeah.
Just two things in relation to the discussion that we were having previously in regards to if we were going to alter the qualifications for election for controller, I think it would make sense to do so for acting controller. Was that the sense of the committee for the acting executive in regards to that they would have to be qualified under the qualifications of the elected executive?
It was the sense of the committee.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it makes sense that if we were going to alter that, to potentially be doing it for altering for the acting controller as well.
Yep.
And then also, I think it's logically consistent to if the legislature is going to be submitted a list of names on a line of succession for acting controller to confirm it. I don't see why the legislature shouldn't be confirming the line of succession for acting controller as well.
I agree with Aaron. Marge would like to be heard on it.
I have no problem with submitting a line of succession to the legislature. I do have grave concerns over the requirements of the acting deputy or the acting comptroller have lived in the county for 4 years, and I can tell you right now that would blow away my succession plan right now.
Okay.
My succession plan right now is Alicia DeMarco. She's been trying to buy a house in Ulster County since the day she took her job. She can't afford to do it, and she would not be able to be appointed acting comptroller in my absence. And I also think this position earns significantly less than deputy county executives, has significantly less authority over operations of the county, and it's really important to have continuity in that office whenever possible. So I really think that this would be damaging to the office, but I have no problem sending the succession plan to the legislature. I like that idea.
Yeah, so I can understand, you know, I will say, duly noted on the controller's concerns on that, and thinking about it after the fact in terms of, I think the pool of potential eligible people to serve as acting controller is probably much smaller than those that would be serving as acting executive. So
negative. The acting comptroller can be anybody incumbent in county government. It could be a deputy county executive.
Well, they have to be a qualified elector right now.
What they're approved by you. She would have to move it to the county.
My point is,
Aaron's point about...
The
proposal right now says that they're required to be a qualified elector.
That's right.
Yeah.
If I was hit by a bus, she'd
have
to
move
into the county.
Right, right.
Yeah. But not 4 years ago.
Right.
So I think Aaron's concern about the limitation on the pool is because he thought it had to come from your office. My point is that the way this charter reads, it can come from any place in county government. The last time we had an acting comptroller, it was Adele Ryder.
And you will see there is a proposed amendment to bar that kind of appointment because there is a threat to the independence in the comptroller's office when you appoint somebody who's been in executive branch of the government.
I will not support that. But that's
I think that's great.
I just want to, for the comptroller's benefit, if this is adopted, if we move this the way it's written, it says that only a person who is a qualified elector of Ulster County and incumbent in county government may be designated to any list. So she can't be on your succession list. It's not that she can't be acting. She can't even be on your list. She's not a
problem.
That's what it says right here. So,
it may be a problem in your eyes, in my eyes, that it solves a problem.
Yeah, so can I also just give my sense, since this is another thing we're putting a pin in or flagging or whatever, I'm going to be interested in the next conversation where everybody's at with requiring the residency of the comptroller's office for the period of time, the similar residency, because again, I'm not sure that I agree with that for the comptroller's office, but I feel like residency for the office certainly makes sense. Again, so I'm just not sure about the term of the residency.
Why should it be different than the executive? Just curious.
I think you must have left the room when I was speaking about it before. Yeah, okay, so I'm happy to say it again. So I feel that the executive office, it makes sense to me that it be someone that know Ulster County, that have lived here, since they're not, by definition, creating policy. It's our office, but they're the face of government in an emergency, which we've seen. They're effectively executing policy. They're through the budget. They're proposing policy.
Yeah.
And you know, in function, there's a certain amount of policy that goes into the day-to-day. The comptroller's office, to me, by contrast, if you think of it as the fiscal watchdog, should not be proposing policy except as an extension of uncovering a failure in policy,
yeah.
Right? So I'm worried about limiting the pool for that office. And again, it's no disrespect to our current comptroller, who I like and respect very much, and I hope stays for a long while. It's not about the current person in office, but the idea that you may have someone who's amazingly qualified, who's only lived here for a year, and the role that they're undertaking, I don't feel like is as necessary that they have been really vested in living in this community for 4 years. I want them to absolutely live in this community upon election, and maybe there's a lesser term. And I'm not sold on it, because I just heard it today for the first time. I have to think it through.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I'm not necessarily 100% on it. I'm not sure.
I get that. I mean, what I've experienced, you know, with all due respect, March, and it's fun to have these conversations with one of the holders of the office in the room, but, you know, I've experienced, again, the reason why I support an appointed auditor over a elected comptroller is because, you know, I haven't experienced that sense of fiscal watchdogness necessarily indiscriminately, operated. And I respect where you're coming from, and if we were getting, you know, CPAs and real financial, you know, people who are employed in financial services and things like that, and, you know, interested in the position that, you know, maybe weren't from here, or you know, but what we've seen is, you know, that it's usually not one of those people running for comptroller, and if it is, they get defeated. You know, but I don't know that we're missing out on, you know, these, like, incredibly qualified people that want to be comptroller because of we're putting a residency requirement in. I think if we really want it to be an elected position, then you should be elected, you know, you should be elected by the people who live here, and you should be one of the people who's lived here. I think that to me, that's one of the whole points of elected office, is that you're, you know, elected from the community to serve the community. And I don't think that you can be from the community after 1 year.
Can I ask a question about that?
Yeah.
Sure.
Which is just sort of, not to be overly nudgy in terms of details, but it occurs to me that the residency requirement, we don't say it previously, so could you have been someone that lived here for 4 years and then left for 10 years, but you were a resident for 4 years?
No, it says to be the previous.
Does it say previous?
Well, good check. That's how I intended it, so we should probably make sure that the intent is there.
Yeah, I drafted some language that might address the issue of the qualified elector and would keep the acting comptroller to being a qualified elector at the time they take office. So I just want to read this language to you, and I'm happy to share it. Maybe you take it back and review it. But only a person who is an incumbent in county government is designated to any list of succession for possible services as the county comptroller, comma, be a qualified elector of Ulster County before being sworn into office, and shall remain a qualified elector throughout the term of office. So can you work with something like that that says that that person must be before they are sworn into office? And let me tell you, if they want your if they want your approval, I would assume they will make that happen.
Could we council pin that and have it, Councilor Gallagher, can you send that? We'll just make sure our councils.
Yes, absolutely.
So I guess one's going to rest on where we all feel about whether or not there's
a
requirement.
Yeah, so please keep that
in
your mind.
So
from now until the next meeting.
Yeah.
I mean, the previous language for just for the executive part says for the least, we're saying 4 years prior to the time of election.
Okay, so that's it.
Yeah.
And then the vacancy is the same issue we're looking at with the executive's office.
Yeah.
I actually, at some point, I'd like to go back to C-27 because I'm going to bring up something in the next.
Do that now.
You want to?
Yeah, because I'm going to call the meeting at 5:45 so we have some time before 6 o'clock for regular laws.
C-27, you said, Ken?
Yeah, that's a deputy county executive. So I think deputy county executive should have to be qualified electors in Ulster County. And it doesn't say that. And I'm going to make the same point to deputy councilor.
Where are you? Sorry. C-27.
I didn't think it was fair without looking back to make sure that that point was in deputy executive.
I don't think they have to
Well, it says that.
I thought we said that.
It says only a person who is a qualified elector of Ulster County and
that's
incumbent.
Acting.
Yes.
You're talking about acting. I'm talking about deputy county.
Oh, maybe designated to any list. Right. Oh.
I think that you're, you know, the $125,000, you know, you have broad responsibilities and power when it comes to affecting the lives of Ulster County residents. I don't think you should be able to be from Green County or Dutchess County.
Here's my
one. All of them are currently,
I think it's an interesting.
Has it ever happened where it's been a non?
I'm not sure, but apparently there's a deputy comptroller who lives outside of the county, and that's a concern for me, same way it would be for a deputy county executive. So even though it hasn't been a concern in the past, doesn't mean it won't in the future.
We have a new person, I'm trying to think what they're the head of now, that just got appointed 2 months ago, that's not in Ulster County right now. Give me a minute to think of the position.
Not the economic development director.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was looking
yeah.
for her.
He's not in Ulster County.
I'm not sure if there's going to be a different section for director of economic development.
I'm just
sure
pointing out that there goes another high-level position. Yeah, this is.
I mean, so we would require commissioners also be a resident?
I'm not sure. That's not what we're talking about now, but that's what he's talking about. I'm talking about deputy county executives.
I'm just pointing out, you mentioned high-level, $120,000, you know, job.
But
we're heading down that road. That's what I'm just
Let's talk about
out.
It. I'm fine with talking about it.
I'm going to definitely think about this.
I don't know how, in regards to Legislator Ronk's proposal, I don't know at this point how I feel about it, but I do think that there is a delineation between an elected office, the head of the office, the elected official, the executive, the controller, and those that work for them. So I think that there should be a difference there in terms of you know, having a higher qualification for the elected official as opposed to those that work for them.
But I'm not saying all the people who work for them. I'm specifically talking about the deputies, the people who are immediately down from the top. I'm not talking about the assistant deputies. I'm not talking about the communications person who is from Dutchess County, you know, over there. You know, I'm specifically talking about deputy county executives, deputy comptroller.
But there's, again, no requirement that the deputy executives or deputy controllers be placed in the line of succession. So at this point, so
there isn't.
I don't think that's his point.
Yeah,
it's not my point.
Yeah.
But so I don't have enough opinion one way or the other.
Yeah, we'll put that in a food for thought.
Yeah.
I'm going to think about it seriously because it's worthy of serious thought, and I don't say that like.
It's something
like,
I've always felt was.
It's something that we've had. You know, we've circled around the discussion on other issues over time, and there is deputy county executives do they are appointed. What they do wield a tremendous amount of power, and so.
Hear how powerful you are?
That's amazing.
Yeah, so there's something to be said. I mean, there's something. I don't want to make it personal, but sometimes deputy county executives stand in for the executive, not just in meetings for us, but at events or speak on behalf of
the
executive. Right. So the idea that one of those people might be someone who lives in Orange County or Sullivan or Green, representing the face of Ulster, does give me pause. So I'm going to seriously consider it. We need a flag in it. I would offer that as we're thinking about the lines of succession, whether or not they need to be uniform across all offices. Again, I'm thinking about the comptroller's office, both. The residency requirement of the comptroller and the line of succession a little bit differently. I may come around to being on the same page. I'm not saying with any of you, but with the executive proposal. We may want to think somewhere splitting the difference between what Aaron is suggesting or saying, what Aaron's saying about the fact that these aren't elected people. Maybe there's some difference for the deputies than the executive in terms of the residency requirement.
Maybe.
Maybe it's a lesser residency requirement, but a requirement that if they become acting, that they're right. So I think we should think about it. I think we should be maybe a little more broad with the appointed positions, but I'm leaning your way.
Sorry, Jer. I have seen this in counties like Westchester, where they'll have requirements on commissioners and stuff, but I will say that they have 1 million residents. We have 180,000. Mm-hmm. In order for us to apply this to commissioner level or director level, we'll severely constrain our ability to fill it with qualified people. It's just a reality.
Yeah.
I understand, and that's why I take pause in doing that wholesale.
Mm-hmm.
There might be a couple that it's important to me personally that they be county residents, but again.
Well, then I think what Chairman Douglas was saying, it doesn't have to start off that way, but if they're getting a high level position, maybe being required to move in within a period of time after you get this
future.
It's like running for Congress.
Yeah.
No, you
don't
have
to live in the state.
You just have to live in the state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't even
have to move.
I mean, the public pressure would make it.
Yeah. So crazy.
And so did we cover anything that you had thought about?
In the stuff I had presented to the commission?
Yeah.
Well, the geographic diversity thing, actually.
Nice. So I got that checked off.
Well, I was proposing that boards and commissions have to have geographic diversity as well. You all could talk about which boards and commissions. I was contemplating all of them, but obviously some of them do by design already. But
we try.
I tend to agree with him, but our requirement on appointing members based off of geographic diversity.
Yeah,
I think that that's a.
Yeah, I mean, I know Ken and I try to do that.
It's. I mean, it's
right now
an admirable intention, but I think it's difficult, especially when you're talking about some of the smaller municipalities. To find
my charter revision. People from all stretches of Ulster. Definitely.
You were great with that. Right now we have. Well, we had. I'm not sure if they're all still on there, but at one point during this term, there were 3 people out of the 7 on the IDA board were from the town of Rochester.
Yeah, so that's going to be the next economic
geographic diversity
powerhouse of Ulster County is Rochester. Oh, part of a master plan.
It's like 4% of the county population.
Okay, so with that, we have 40%
of the IDA
to think about.
Where do we end? So just
we ended, we finished.
The control.
I think that's a key place.
And we got all the way through comptroller?
Well,
we talked about the,
with some pins.
The vacancy was a similar, we were talking about aligning and kind of like what we were talking about with the executive, right?
That would be a pin.
Pin.
This thing hurts. Pin so many times.
Mm-hmm.
Got a pretty big pin cushion there, Jay.
Our next meeting is scheduled for when? The 18th?
Yeah, 18th.
It's on your agenda.
18th at 2:30. Wednesday the 18th at 2:30.
Want to just stop here?
Yeah, I think
that's right now.
Folks can use the restroom and stuff, but we are going to be in the other room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for,
kind of like, yeah, kind of make it.
Yeah, next
Wednesday, right.
Huh?
Make a motion to adjourn. I'll do it.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Aye. Aye.